In the lectionary today, there are three readings. They all really link well. I'm only going to read one of them, but the first is in Exodus, and it's Moses goes up to the top of Mount Sinai, and he meets with God, and he brings down some stone tablets. And as he comes down, his face is shining. He's met God, and his face is shining, so much so that the Israelites who are with him are scared. They're frightened. And Moses puts a veil over his face to protect the people from what they see. And then that's linked in with a verse, some verses in Corinthians, and this is after Jesus has died and has risen, and Paul is talking about that event, and he's talking about how Moses had to veil his face. And he's saying, the veil's torn, the veil is ripped into. Jesus is here. Jesus makes such a difference. We don't need to hide what God has done for us. And this is the words from Luke. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. And Jesus has just talked, he's told the disciples that he will be leaving them. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He didn't really know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves, and they did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So prayer changes things, does it? Have you prayed a prayer that has changed something? I wonder. I'm not always sure that we believe that our prayer changes things, because sometimes we're praying for big things, aren't we? And it's difficult to know that we've made a difference. When we don't get exactly what we want, what I want, we sort of think that a prayer is unanswered. But actually in this passage, we hear that just being with God changes you. I told you about Moses. He was there up on the top of Mount Sinai, and being with God, his face shone so much that the people wanted him to cover it. Jesus meets with God and he shines, his face shines and his clothes are dazzling white. Being with God changes you. So Moses comes down Mount Sinai with these two stone tablets. He's met with God and his face is shining. He's changed by meeting God. But the people are afraid. They can't understand. They can't make sense of it. And Moses has to cover up this shining. Moses is changed by meeting God. In Corinthians, Paul refers to this incident, but he says the veil's torn. We don't need to cover things up. Jesus has come so that we can be open. We don't need to be afraid. There's no need for fear. We have the Holy Spirit. We can live openly. We can speak openly. And then in Luke, we see the comments on Jesus seeing and Jesus encountering God. Again, it's dazzling, dazzling. Jesus goes up to the mountain to pray. His companions are weighed down by sleep. That was the version I read. It said his companions were weighed down by sleep, but Jesus prays. Do you remember another event where the disciples were weighed down with sleep? In the Garden of Gethsemane, before Jesus is arrested, his disciples are weighed down with sleep. But here on the mountain, Jesus prays. His face changes and his clothes become dazzling white. He's changed by this encounter. And then two men are with him, Moses represents the law, and Elijah, who's a prophet. And they speak together about Jesus' departure. Jesus is going to be leaving. Jesus' own exodus. And then the next time that we hear of Jesus praying and his companions being weighed down with sleep will be in the Garden of Gethsemane, Was Jesus' prayer answered on Mount Sinai? Did he really want to have to go and face the garden? Did he want to have to face the soldiers? Did he really want to go to the cross? Was that Jesus' answer to his prayer about how he would leave? Does prayer really change things? Throughout Lent, we have a season where we're devoted to prayer. And to help you, we've got the little booklets, which I hope you'll take one before you leave. And in the Bible study, we're going to be going deeper as well into the issues around justice. So this is about prayer. It's about seeking God. But through seeking God, it's about taking action. I think I spoke about this just a few weeks ago here. We were talking about prayer and action and making a difference. Feels difficult, doesn't it, with the issues in Ukraine, to think that we can make any difference all these hundreds of miles away. Will our prayer make a difference to what's going on across the world? Are there actions that we can take and that we can make? I had to go back to an old friend of mine, Philip Yancey. This is a well-thumbed book of mine, and it's well scribbled in as well. And I always feel I'm really learning about prayer. I feel like I don't know enough. I practice, but I always feel I'm not particularly good at it, and I struggle with it, and I find it quite challenging. And it is hard if you feel that your prayers are not answered. This is what Philip Yancey says. Unanswered prayers and unanswered questions about God and physical healing can leave us feeling confused and mute about the requests we make. What should we pray for? I think it's a key question, isn't it? What should we be praying for? So Philip Yancey has interviewed lots of people who've prayed, and just ordinary prayers, and he's gathered what he says are some guidelines about prayer. And he says, I've learned to tell God exactly what I want, regardless of how impossible it may sound. I pray for peace in the Middle East, for justice in Africa, for religious freedom in China and other countries, for peace in Ukraine, for an end to homelessness and racism in the US, because I earnestly desire those things. And moreover, I believe God does too. So he's talking about really praying for massive things, things that we feel we can't influence, but we know that they are on God's heart too. And he gives an example. A friend of mine in Chicago tried to recruit some colleagues in an urban ministry to join him in a season of prayer for an end to poverty in that city. And people didn't want to join in. They were like, why pray for something that's so idealistic and so impossible? Nothing's going to change. But Philip Yancey says his friend had a completely different view. What is the point of prayer if not to express our heart's desire, especially when it matches what we know to be God's will on earth? Where our heart's desire matches God's will. Who knows what will happen when we pray what we know God desires? And then he says, remember all those prayers of Christians behind the Iron Curtain when there was apartheid in South Africa, prayers that seemed impossible and idealistic. And Philip Yancey reminds us that God tells us to pray plainly for what we need, that we won't be told off. No more, he describes it as a bit like a child climbing onto a parent's knee and saying, this is what I'd really like for Christmas. He says, you just say to God what's exactly on your heart. And then we can pray, God, I know you have your own purposes and undoubtedly have a plan, but I'll tell you straight out what I would like to see to happen. It's a bit like in the Lord's Prayer, isn't it, when we say, thy will be done. We can pray for what we want. We can pray for peace. We can pray for certainty. We can pray for security. We can pray that people won't die in war. But we have to say God's will be done. We have to then leave it with God. I think what came through for me in these readings was that prayer changes us, that we take our heart to God, that we try and synchronize with the heart of God and want what God wants. But prayer changes us as well in that conversation with God. You know, if we really have a heart for those people in Ukraine, if we really are weeping for them, then that will cause us to take action as well, won't it? We will speak in prayer, but we'll also talk about it to our neighbour. Maybe we'll see an advert for a charity that's supporting the children in Ukraine, and maybe we'll give some of our money to that charity. Maybe there's other things that we can do. Perhaps it's how we treat refugees in our town. Prayer will change us. So today, as we offer our prayers for the people in Ukraine, for those fleeing, for those staying, for the government of Ukraine, for the soldiers and for those civilians as well defending their land, as we pray for the Russian government, for those in Russia as well, risking their lives to speak the truth. And as we pray for our own government and for governments across the globe as they plan a response, let's speak our heart. Let's learn the heart of God. And let's all be prepared to be changed by our prayer. Amen.